this bitch. Okay.
That was Ben Folds with Rock This Bitch. You're listening to In the Loop for December 7th, 2005. Stay tuned after this song to hear news, music, and comedy. This next song is Evergreen by MC Chris.
Well, on the first day of Christmas, buddy located me. A bag of shrooms at some LSD. We snuck into the park to steal some Christmas trees. But the cops pulled up and that's nice and lit. We're all fucked up with Smirnoff. We crunch your candy canes and rev up all the chainsaws. You give us 30 and we'll tie it up and know what you caught. We'll take it 30 and spend it on pot. We're not your bad, we flunk all of our classes. I'm getting fights, getting drunk, and we're bad kids. The dad calls bastard, mom's always plastered. Or wear the clothes sing to suburban gangsters. A cold air's what we breathe. Our beds have my seeds. It's hard to haul trees, it's 0 degrees. We smell like evergreen. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. And some mistletoe all up in his piece, baby. Throwing a couple of G's, yeah. I want my snowmobile trench to be fixed. I want a hoe who doesn't mind my snowsuit doesn't fit. I'm just a hayseed selling trees to break trees. No, your daddy hates me. It's driving you crazy. Even though my nose is running, get the honeys cause the money. But I never get lick having my way and do long on these eyes. I don't drip this dip, missing the country with my piss. I rock my name because I think it's funny. I'm so into this deciduous lifestyle. You see a dip tree and I see a cash cow. I never bargain and I never back down. Put your backseat down and I'll take you out to tree town. Your daughter's giving me the eye, so I am giving her a ride. I'll put up a tree myself and put up all the lights. As long as I get all up in her inside. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. And some mistletoe all up in his piece. Maybe a girl, oh, that's free of disease. And while I'm thinking, throwing a couple of G's, yeah. I want my snowmobile trench to be fixed. I want a hoe who doesn't mind my snowsuit doesn't fit. I'm just a hayseed selling trees to break trees. No, your daddy hates me. It's driving you crazy.
That was MC Chris with Evergreen. I'm Kristen Barrick. Welcome. You're listening to In the Loop. Broadcast from freeradiosaic.org from the lucky 13th floor. It's all good with the 13th floor. Like that really crappy movie. 13th floor of the Michigan building of the School of the Art Institute of Chicago.
Are you going to introduce me?
Yeah, I have it on my list.
Oh, sorry.
See, Evergreen, MC Chris, Eating's Not Cheating. freeradiosaic.org. I went to Apple because my therapist told me to go away for half an hour and then come back. And so I went over to the Apple store because they have like a little theater that you can sit at. You can eat the mic if you want to.
Pass.
Okay. For now. And I took the normal schedules for the fall schedule for the radio station, and I highlighted my show and then I taped candy canes to them. And so I kind of waited in the Apple store until someone came up and talked to me and said, hey, do you need any help? And I went, actually, here, would you listen to my show? And I gave them, I think it's only right because, like, everything is Apple. Like, we're, like, at the school, we're required to have iBooks, like, incoming freshmen and whatever. And that's an Apple.
Transfers?
Well, transfers, it's... it depends if the transfer wants an iBook.
Oh, okay.
Then they can say it's required, and then they have to go get one. I don't know. But
you would think if they made it required that they would just supply you with one.
Well, they supply you with, like, the means to get it.
So they bend you over backwards?
Yeah, oh, but nice. That's typical for, you know, academia.
I mean, we love the SAIC.
Okay, are you using the Royal We?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. speaking of SAIC, they're downstairs selling a house. Some girl, when I was getting on the elevator, went, "What are they doing?" And so I was like, "I don't know." And I saw this with a woman in a fur coat, and I yelled at her, "What are you doing there?" She's like, "Oh, they're auctioning off a house." Like, oh, okay. It's a house which someone left to the school, and they're auctioning it off for the school, because there was TV cameras and everything. Like, slow news day.
So you gotta. So instead of like using that house for somebody to live in, they're just going to sell it and take that money.
And then try to repay all the money that got lost in the stock market of the schools?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I don't even really know about that.
I don't follow the stock market the way I should.
Yeah. Because
I'm a poor person. Because
we're poor.
We'll say it nicely.
we can say whatever we want.
Can I use that Mitch Hedberg joke, or is that...
Yeah, use it.
So you can say whatever the hell you want, because it's just like satellite radio. You can swear on satellite radio, because nobody's listening.
You can swear in the woods, too.
Shit.
Okay, my friend Zach is here. Hi, Zach.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, listening audience.
Of me twice. And then how many other people?
Two, supposedly.
Two, okay. Yeah, so Zach is... I lured him down here, down from Madison, Wisconsin.
Yay.
we're friends from Montana.
Scooter Town. Madison is Scooter Town.
Yeah, and he's... Zach has graduated with a philosophy degree.
I am an apprentice philosopher.
Yes. And you have a laminated degree.
It's in my wallet. I actually have that.
So when a cop pulls you over, you can show it first.
I can say, no, I'm above the law.
I don't believe in the law. So yeah, we have a crit week this week, which means that undergraduates do nothing.
Okay, so...
Or leave.
You told me about this crit week, and I was like, crit week? And you're like, yeah, it's where the seniors... have their
the grad students
or whoever, people who are like way better than just undergrads, because, you know, undergrads,
yeah, fuck you,
undergrads are like, you know, we're gonna use you as paver base.
Okay, keep going before I kick you.
I'm an
undergrad.
You have to jump through that hoop. So anyway,
thanks.
My basic interpretation of crit week was that it was critique week, or
yeah,
being critical.
Yeah.
And that was it. Instead of saying...
Like National Crit Week?
Yeah, it's like kind of like sweeps.
National Your Dad Doesn't Love You Today Week? That's every week in my family. They should have that, like National Dysfunctional Family Week.
I believe there is one.
What is it?
I don't know.
Christmas?
Yeah, somewhere in between Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Probably. You need to get closer to the mic.
I do.
Yes.
Maybe I don't want to eat the microphone.
I don't know. We can position it so the microphone eats you.
Oh, there's hair on this screen. It went on my nose. Gross. Anyway, continuing.
All right. So Zach is here. He's going to join me in conversation and monitor the internet to see who's there and if they're saying anything. So if you type something tonight, someone will actually read it, like, as you're typing it, or after you press enter, opposed to me, who like just did it during music and then got all distracted because people said, you should be covering art news. It exists. There you go. Okay.
Art news.
Art news. Action art news at 5 or 6. Okay.
And some dude did a painting. And he dropped some paint onto his pants. And then he didn't bother to change them or clean it up.
And so now it's an artistic statement.
So now he's an artist.
There's always someone cooler than you.
A true artist.
Okay. This show, In the Loop, has a corresponding blog at MT, the letter N, the letter T, outburst.blogspot.com. Just until this show did I realize that just saying it, MT Outburst.
People are typing an E-M-P-T-Y.
And plus, it's just kind of depressing, like an empty outburst, like an empty gesture.
Well, I thought you did that on purpose.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm talking out of the side of my mouth.
And so we have to kind of explain some of the jokes.
No.
Which we say. Okay. No, we don't. And there's also a corresponding podcast that you can get for this show. That
Booyah podcast.
Oh, yeah. I'm the only one who knows anything about it. A podcast that more people subscribe to than actually listen to the show, which is kind of nice. But there's some of the comedy bits that I've done that you haven't heard yet, so I might play one of them.
What?
Yeah.
Does it end with that little wah wah?
Wah wah wah. It should. And it has little extras, and then if I remember to do everything correctly and actually press record twice, or record once and then play once, and it records this episode, then I put it up. So far, that hasn't happened. It's been a gradual progression of forget CD, bring CD, forget to put in CD tray, bring CD, put it in a tray, press record, not realize that you have to press play again for it to record. And then last week I had an echo throughout the entire thing. And there were apparently other problems because...
Space age. Echo.
Well, last week... last week I claimed last in the, I very claimed the very... Be- okay, the really fun thing is I can turn off his mic. I can't do that in real... I can't do that in like a regular conversation. So this is really nice. No, last week I announced like in the beginning of the hour, I'm like... That's the motto of that's our motto here at freeradioseic.org. We have our shit together. Because like Emily's leaving the room on the other side, and I'm talking to her over there as the show's running and everything. So yes, we have our shit together. So go to the sites. You can participate. You can see extra crap on there. Pictures of me in my apartment being cold. I don't know. And then to find some fun stuff on the podcast page, which is, I don't think I said it, kbarrick, K-B-A-R-R-I-C-K .podomatic.com. You can also find some of those links on the show information on the freeradioseic.org website. If you go to show info and then find my, or program info and then find mine, find In the Loop, and then you can get reminders and everything. Okay, I'm gonna do some news while you read People magazine.
This isn't People, is it?
Yeah.
Oh geez, it is.
I brought both Newsweek, that has on the cover Women and Terror, Al Qaeda's New Recruits, and People, Why Jessica Left Nick.
She hasn't left him, though. On the cover, they're together.
Yeah. And on the cover is Pat Morita, a picture of when he was alive.
I didn't even know he was dead.
Yeah, he is.
Wait, let me re-say that. I didn't even know he was dead?
End it with a question? Okay, I'm going to read some news. That good?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. As I turned down his mic. I like doing that. All right. We're going to do, we normally do a little news roundup, and today is going to be mostly Iraq news roundup that I got to writing last night. I have a couple quotes, so take out my gun. 2,131 U.S. soldiers have been killed in Iraq to date. Over 15,000 soldiers have been wounded, and over 27,000 Iraqis have been killed. A site I stumbled on last night, it's the Iraqi Coalition Casualty Count.com, I believe, has amassed an amazingly comprehensive amount of data and information about the war and injuries, such and such. And on their front page from yesterday alone, they had brief news stories on their sidebar. And more importantly, they had Department of Defense press releases confirming the names of many Army casualties. And amongst those that were announced just yesterday are Sergeant Richard Schild, age 40, Sergeant Daniel Kuka, 27, both of South Dakota, neighbors of Montana. Sergeant Philip Travis, age 41, Sergeant Philip Dodson Jr., 42, and Specialist Marcus Futrell, 20, all from Georgia. And then last week, the Bush administration began their co-opting of the Democratic message to withdraw from the Iraqi war. A summary of his speech on November 30th, which was covered live by many stations and watched by relatively few people, is this. Victory! 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 Bunch of army people, they told our commander in chief told us to clap, so we have to clap. Okay, don't court martial me.
We're at a party.
Indeed. Bush may not govern by poll numbers, as he says, but the content of his speeches are certainly taken from poll numbers. Facing record-breaking negative poll numbers, Bush used the word victory 15 times in his speech. Plan for victory signs were up where mission accomplished signs were used or used to be, you know, a few hundred casualties ago. And the 35-page national security document, which was released the morning of his speech, was titled Our National Strategy for Victory in Iraq. And this word victory is being used like when a teenager or, hey, college student just learns what a word means. And so it's like they tear it off of their word of the day calendar and then put it in their pocket. And then they use it all the time, but they aren't quite sure what it means. Like, they kind of know, but then they just like throw it in and like plethora. Like,
or it's like the word phenomenon.
Or ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or literal.
Literally.
Yeah. I literally crapped my pants. What did you do?
Wow. What did you do?
No, it was so funny. I laughed. Well, what did you do with your pants? What do you mean? No, I literally crapped my pants.
Yeah, what did you do with your shitty pants? No, I didn't really crap my pants.
I love stealing material from David Cross.
Literally.
Going back.
In the literal sense.
Yes. So this Our National Strategy for Victory in Iraq, 35-page document, which is, you know, a novella or perhaps a comic book length. Shouldn't this document, Our National Strategy for Victory in Iraq, have existed before the war started? Just a thought?
No.
Thank you. That's exactly.
That was a resounding no. At least the way I do things, I never plan stuff out.
And actually, Zach is on the right of me, like in literal, holding up left. No, that's the mixer. Right. Zach. There you go. Now, this new speech, it emphasized this one point in this new kind of PR campaign, because it wasn't really a speech presenting anything radically new. It was just emphasizing different points using different language. And this point was, as the Iraqi military and police stand up, we will stand down. Meaning withdraw. Withdrawal as in what all the polls are saying the Americans want and what the stronger Democratic members of Congress, not Hillary Clinton, have publicly announced and approved, including Nancy Pelosi this week. And, well, there's John Murtha, who I love and wrote on my blog, like, I love him. I want to have his baby. I don't know, something right now. Yeah, I was fond of John Murtha. So They're co-opting what the Democrats were working at for the past 2 or 3 weeks. And this main strategy adjustment in the administration can be attributed to Peter Fever, which I'm just going to say a couple times. Peter Fever. Peter Fever. Peter Fever. Thank you.
Well, see, I got caught up on the fever part.
Yeah, because that's the confusing part. It's not the two combined. Peter Fever, a Duke University political scientist who joined the National Security Council staff as a special advisor and has closely studied public opinion on the war, according to the New York Times.
I really want to make the obvious porn star joke, but I'm not going to.
Thank you for not. A study he and fellow Duke researchers conducted revealed that we, the American public, and them, the Duke researchers, would support a war with mounting casualties if we believed it would ultimately succeed. Which, I love believing. I love that people say, like, you should have faith in government, have faith in your leaders.
So a guy with the name Peter Fever is talking about mounting casualties? I'm sorry.
You are reading people.
That's a good point.
It's like the monkey. Okay, Zach, you have the piece of cheese, and you have
piece of garbage.
The cyanide. Do you want to eat the piece of cheese, the nice Newsweek magazine, or the cyanide people?
I'll take the ones with the more pictures, please.
Okay, that would.
I like pictures.
That would be people. We lost a user. You weren't looking.
I'm sorry. We scared them away. You scared them away with your boring news.
Hey, shut up.
Check it out.
Mic down. I love the power. And what victory itself means... Ow, don't hit me. What victory itself means remains somewhat a mystery. Again, they're not quite sure exactly what their word of the day calendar means. John McCain was on Meet the Press on Sunday and talked to Tim Russert. And speaking of John McCain, he's actually going to be in town at the borders on State and Randolph tomorrow at 12:30 for a book signing. But John McCain on Meet the Press had this to say.
We welcome a staunch proponent of the war, Senator
well,
John
first,
McCain.
Tim
Good morning.
Tim Roberts on the top.
Good morning, Tim.
Senator, the war in Iraq. The president said that we will accept nothing less than complete victory. What is complete victory?
Complete victory, at least in my view, is a flawed but functioning democracy in Iraq. I think it's hard to expect us to have a perfect democracy there, but one that the people of Iraq will support. Economic development, restoration of infrastructure and law and order, and the Iraqi military and security personnel being able to take over most of the responsibilities for Iraqi security. And I think it's going to be long and hard and tough.
And sadly, that just adds to the sexual innuendos that have taken place so far in tonight's broadcast.
I wasn't really thinking about that.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking that you have to play that like at least 3 more times in order for me to pay attention to the whole thing.
Oh, good.
It's all political multi-speak, if that is such a thing.
Now you're just making up words. But I'm going to come back to that, why I need to replay that a couple times for you to hear. And you need to pay attention to the users.
I am paying
Maybe
attention.
You should participate. Maybe you should, you know, type stuff in. Change the screen name. And
why don't you turn my mic down again?
I'll do it when I want to. And while many are rightfully focusing on the war in Iraq, Fox News and their... You might call them news correspondents. I'm going to call them opinion correspondents. They are focusing on the so-called war on Christmas. And as I said last night when I was eating dinner in a like family-style kind of restaurant, if there's a war on Christmas, Christmas is winning. Because I can't stand another carol or anything. I can't. I'm going to die.
I love Christmas.
Christmas is good, but there's it's winning. So the following is going to be...
That was a joke.
Okay. She said. So the following are a few clips from MediaMatters.org.
Did you put them to music?
No, but we can do that in the background.
A fresh hip-hop beat?
are some clips from MediaMatters.org regarding what Fox calls the war on Christmas.
Dun, dun, dun.
There you go.
Factor Investigation segment tonight. As you know, Christmas has become controversial in America. Public displays of the federal holiday are under attack by the ACLU. And some department stores even tell employees to avoid saying Merry Christmas. So we decided to look at some retail policies this year, and here's what we found out. Sears Kmart would not answer our questions. Spokesman Chris Braithwaite simply ducked the issue. Their website banners Wishbook Holiday 2005. They were the worst we had to deal with. Okay, Sears Kmart. JCPenney says its catalog is always called Christmas Catalog. Federated Department Stores Macy's, Bloomingdale's, Birdine says the words Merry Christmas will be used in most advertising. Same thing at May, Filene's, Lord & Taylor, and Marshall Fields. But Kohl's refused to define how the company will deal with Christmas. Dillard's, however, will use the slogan Discover Christmas, Discover Dillard. So there you go. Shop where you like the atmosphere. Just remember Kohl's and Sears Kmart. Basically, no, all right. With us now, Philip Nolman, author of the book, Just Say Yes, Extreme Customer Service. That's what I like. Extreme customer service.
Okay, to pause it for a second. Extreme!
So,
customer
yeah,
service.
You like come jumping off the top of the shelves. like your base jumping off of the shelves.
How are you doing today?
How's it going? Yeah! Yeah! You want to get some paint? Yeah!
It's like what they do at like Victoria's Secrets or something. Can I help you? Can I help you? No, really? No. Can I help you? Can I help you? No, please. Let me help you. Then you turn around for a second. Can I help you now?
They don't do that to guys at Victoria's Secret. And the other thing I would like to point out is that I really think that it doesn't matter, Mr. O'Reilly.
Oh, okay, we're going to hear a lot more. What I wanted to say right now is that this guy who he's introducing, what he looks like. Well, first, what Bill O'Reilly looks like.
Wait. I'm not done with this, though. I like how he trailed off at the end. He was like, so, yeah. And that was it for his little story. Like, don't shop at these places because they say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. And I'm like, you know what? You can go touch yourself in your room.
Good point.
And feel dirty.
All right. Again, to present what Bill O'Reilly looks like, so I don't know, you can complete the mental picture that Zach just presented. You see what he looks like on television, but he's immensely tall. If you go and search for one of Bill O'Reilly's appearances on The Daily Show, note that Jon Stewart is short, but Bill O'Reilly's like a towering giant. He's like the Jolly Green Giant of evil and mirth.
He's a veritable Jolly Green Giant.
He's a veritable Jolly Green Giant.
That's one of those word of the day calendar words.
There you go. Do you know what it means?
I look it up every time I use it, and I never remember. That's like the same thing with pejorative.
Yeah.
Which I finally remember.
I try to not to use words that I don't know what they mean.
Because pejorative is in reference to an amount, of an amount.
Huh.
So when people use that, generally they misuse it.
Huh. That's fascinating. One second.
Go ahead.
Thanks.
Go ahead, caller.
Long time listener, first time caller. Okay.
So he's tall.
He's tall, big, imposing. I don't know, like a Peanuts cartoon if it was drawn by Crumb. I don't know. Bad, evil. And then this guy who he's introducing about extreme customer service, you know, customer service for the youth. He's kind of he's schlubby looking. He's tubby. He's got a beard. He's got a chin that sticks out further than his beard. And not exactly charismatic. And I have to say, you know, Bill O'Reilly is charismatic. I want to hurt him in various painful, destructive ways. Thumbscrews. Not the rack. Someone already used that on him.
Yeah, you'd have a hard time. You'd have to get an oversized rack.
Yeah.
And that costs more.
Yeah. Or maybe I can get one that's like a fold out. Like you can, it's like a table, like a dining room table. You can add extra leaves to it.
Yeah, or you could shop at one of those big and tall stores.
I bet they have those.
Big and tall IKEA.
Big and tall torture.
In the torture section.
Yeah.
Department.
No, that would be Bed Bath & Beyond in the Beyond section.
Yeah. Next to the coffee mugs.
So already on O'Reilly's show, as he's bringing this up, and these clips go in chronological order. This is sometime in early November, I believe, when Christmas was like halfway through, because they started in September. It's already, you know, because it's like Nixon and Kennedy. Okay, I'm sorry for making that comparison. Oh my God, but no, it's like here's this charismatic looking guy. Here is this kind of overweight, sweaty guy. Which one are you gonna pick? So
sweaty.
So here we go.
Charismatic.
We're gonna continue.
All right. 85% of Americans say they're Christians. Christmas is a federal holiday, mm-hmm. signed into law by U.S. Grant, and we're living in a time where some retail outlets will not say Merry Christmas. Insane?
No, I don't think it's insane. I think that it's good business practice, actually. And many organizations are trying desperately to be inclusionary. They feel that the use of Merry Christmas in their packaging, their bags, their messages, their environment is just the opposite. It's exclusionary to the 15 or 20% of the customer base that is not Christian.
And you agree with that?
I do, from a marketing standpoint.
See, I think you're crazy, mm-hmm. And here's why. I think the backlash against stores that don't say Merry Christmas is enormous because now people are aware of the issue. This will be reported, it's like the third or fourth year that we've reported. I know everybody's hypersensitive about, are they going to say Merry Christmas? Are they going to say Happy Holidays? What are they going to say? Are there decorations that say Merry Christmas? They're hypersensitive. And when you walk into a secular environment, most Christians are looking around and they're really aware of it. Now, the other thing is, I don't believe most people who aren't Christian are offended by the words Merry Christmas. I think those people are nuts. I think you're crazy if you're offended by the words Merry Christmas.
Well,
so you're basically only knocking out your nutty customers, and why do you want them anyway?
When businesses make decisions to be inclusionary as opposed to exclusionary, they do it on the basis of wanting to invite all customers in. They don't want to exclude customers. What happens very often is that the message gets through to the customer that who is not Christian,
yeah.
who is Muslim, who is Jewish, who follows another faith, Buddhist, that they are not being invited in or catered to. When we counsel businesses, what we want to do is invite everyone in.
Well, then
Season's greetings and happy holidays, Bill, does not offend Christians.
Yes, it does. Absolutely does. And I know that for a fact. But the smart way to do it is Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Season's Greetings, Happy Kwanzaa.
It's a long list.
It's okay. You got a big store.
Mm-hmm.
You got a big store. Back in the book segment tonight, for the past few years, the Factor has been reporting extensively on the ACLU and other secular groups trying to remove Christmas scenes from public display. Now, there's a book about the controversy, and here's John Gibson, who wrote it. The book is called The War on Christmas, How the Liberal Plot to Ban the Sacred Christian Holiday is Worse Than You Thought. You know, those liberals. I mean, the liberal plot. Sound like Ann Coulter.
Well, what we reveal in this book, The War on Christmas, is we all know the nativity scene is a religious symbol.
Right.
And there's arguments about whether that should be in schools and public places.
Okay, I'm turning our mics up. Because there's no one else listening.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah, it's okay. I'll put it out as a podcast, so at least people will be forced to download it, those who subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
But
Suckers.
Also, yeah, but also because this is where it just starts to get really ridiculous. So we'll have this on and we'll comment on it.
I'm gonna declare a war on Christmas.
Well, the Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio, they're self-proclaimed part of the war on Christmas.
Well, you just wait, though. I mean, you watch the news, shit's going to go down. War
Once
on Christmas style.
I've watched all seasons of 24. I know how to pull an event. There you go.
We're talking about secular symbols. We're talking about banning Christmas trees.
Yes,
the
a Christmas
colors, red and green.
A Christmas tree
see,
is secular.
I made a mistake by saying it's a liberal plot, and I'll tell you why. I believe, and I could be wrong, that most liberals are as angry about this as conservatives. It's the far left. It's the loony left, the Kool-Aid, secular, progressive, ACLU, America haters.
Brontosaurus, blueberry blast liberals. What the hell?
Okay, first of all, he says that it's the loony left that, like, that wants to get rid of all of this and just make it secular. It's the loony right. That's those are the people who are offended by it.
I don't care. It's a goddamn holiday, goddammit.
Yeah, it's, I don't.
It's a holiday celebrating the birth of God, and he should damn it. When it gets struck by lightning.
That's what I fear every time I do a Pat Robertson joke. I'm going to continue on.
Well, you know, on Monday night, my colleague Bill O'Reilly said something so simple, controversial, but so dead on accurate. I want you to listen to this. Take a look.
Every company in America should be on its knees thanking Jesus for being born. Without Christmas, most American businesses would be far less profitable. More than enough reason for business to be screaming Merry Christmas. Well, it's absurd. This is so insane. I don't think of anything. I've seen anything this stupid in the 30 years I've been in this business.
I just like to pause it for that one moment because I'd like to imagine that that's just the end of what he's saying. It's war on Christmas. It's the stupidest thing. It's idiotic. It's worst thing I've seen in 30 years in the business.
Must be a slow Christmas news season.
I bet they have a huge graphic for it too. Like a Christmas tree in all different angles. And ornament, ornament, ornament. The war on Christmas.
It would help me out. I am a visual learner.
Well, yeah. You were forced to watch Fox News.
Here you have a national public holiday signed into law by Ulysses S. Grant in 1870. Christmas. All right? Federal holiday. Everybody gets off. No mail delivered. Everybody shuts down. Federal holiday. Why is it there? To honor a philosopher. Jesus, whose philosophy was part of the foundation of our country. All of this is indisputable. Can't dispute it.
Zach, would you like to try to dispute it?
No.
No?
No. It's, you know, once you start talking about religion, it just gets ugly.
Yeah, but if you don't talk about religion, then crap like this happens.
Yeah, that's why I'm a rogue state. Freelander.
Where do you live again?
In my truck.
No, not quite.
In my truck.
Not quite. Where do you sleep?
In a basement.
Who owns that basement?
My truck. Continue on with Bill O'Reilly's.
Your parents do.
No, they don't.
Okay. Man was born. His name is Jesus. He had a philosophy. The philosophy was incorporated by the founding fathers to make up the United States of America. U.S. Grant signs into law the holiday, Christmas. Now we have people who are offended by that. Well, tough, right? Tough. Some people are offended
That's a good logical conclusion. Tough.
And Merry fucking Christmas.
I like your argument, Bill O'Reilly. You were a genius. Why?
Nails. I'm not pulling mine out. So I'm feeling offended by everything you do. We're not firing you, okay? Offended? Too bad. But then...
But the point
but then,
is with companies. That yeah, then I'm getting they have a lot to be grateful for.
You got
to
let me warm up.
Yeah, I'm wondering, because you seem to be going off track.
I'm not. Watch it. Then the business community says, we don't want to offend anybody. So we're not going to say Merry Christmas. We're going to say Happy Holidays, all right? That offends
no one.
Millions of Christians.
No!
See, 85% of the country calls itself Christian.
Yes, 85% of the country may call themselves Christian, but 85% of the country is not offended because someone says Happy Holidays.
Yeah, but Christians are offended by saying
I'm
happy
a Christian.
Holidays. You are?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Are you a Christian?
That is undecided.
I accept that answer.
I'm waiting for...
For the poll results?
No, I'm waiting for the apocalypse to occur. And then, you know, I'll make my decision then.
If you listen to Pat Robertson, it's pretty soon, so...
It always is pretty soon. Our Christianity is an apocalyptic religion. It's looking forward to the end. So there's always going to be people saying that the end is nigh. Not near, nigh.
And one of the signs of the apocalypse?
15% of the country. You figure these people could do the math if they're CEOs. 85% Christian.
I thought you were going to say this radio
they
show.
They are into Christmas. Okay? That's their big day. 15% aren't. Now, of those 15%, maybe 1% are totally insane. They're nuts. They're the ones who are offended. So what it comes down to is the DCEOs and big companies like Walmart, Sears, Kmart, will not say Merry Christmas in their stores or advertising to cater to 1% of Americans who are insane.
Now, see, the other thing, too, Bill O'Reilly should point out is that Walmart also is very heavily involved with John Brown University, which is a private, non-denominational Christian college in Siloam Springs, Arkansas, where Sam Walton's daughter, the heiress of the Walton fortune, still lives. I mean, come on, Bill. What are you talking about?
Okay. But is it more for Walmart? Because they're everywhere. They're in China. They're in Hong Kong.
I don't know.
Maybe they're wondering, well, you know, the percentages even change when
they
go globally.
They don't have to say Merry Christmas in China, okay? They can say whatever they say in China, Happy Winter, all right? We like pandas. Say whatever you want. This is America. This is the...
Let's absorb that for a moment. Let's see. I'll take it back.
Will not say Merry Christmas in their stores or advertising to cater to 1% of Americans who are insane.
Okay? But is it more for Walmart? Because they're everywhere. They're in China. They're in Hong Kong.
I don't know.
Maybe they're wondering, well, you know, the percentages even change when you go
globally.
They
don't have to say Merry Christmas in China. Okay? They can say whatever they say in China, Happy Winter. All right? We like pandas. Say whatever you want. This is America. This is the big commercial holiday. You're not going to acknowledge the holiday? Then I'm not shopping there. And that's what the bottom line is here.
He should be he's like so close to being Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's with, you know, just going to like a typical, I guess, like a, just a stereotype. He really should just be that.
Me Chinese, me play joke. Me say we like pandas in your Coke.
Me caveman? Continuing.
The backlash is building, building, building. And these retailers are going to find out, as Federated found out last year. That's Macy's, Bloomingdale's,
right,
Bird
right.
Eyes. They didn't say it last year. This year, Federated right. is saying it.
So
they
do you
took
think,
a hit.
Right. Do you think there's a connection between Walmart saying, you know, maybe our sales might not be up to snuff and this position they're taking on Christmas?
Look. I like the Walmart guys. I'm not a Walmart basher. I think that they serve a tremendous service to this country by giving people with not a lot of money an opportunity to buy stuff.
I like that
cheap
comment.
Stuff.
Basically what he's saying, it gives poor people a chance to spend the money that they have very little of on shit.
Crap.
Yeah.
Cheaply made crap.
Yeah. And as I realized when I was working at a crappy little drugstore that had all the stuff made from China and I could see how much we bought it for and then how much we were selling it for, you know, I just saw it like, oh, well, it's just this never-ending cycle of I'm poor. I need to go buy stuff that is cheap. How do they make it cheap? By sending the labor overseas. They send the labor overseas because it's less expensive for labor over there. Why? Because Americans, we have laws that require a certain amount of payment. That kind of payment that the person who's buying that cheap shit would have had it not gone overseas. And so it's this never-ending cycle of like, well, now I have a service job, and so I have less money, so I need it cheaper, so put it in India. And okay, well now I'm even poorer, so I need all this. It just goes on and on, and it won't stop.
Would you want to work in a factory?
No, but if I had a choice of having three service jobs or one factory job, I'd pick a factory job.
I kind of like having multiple jobs.
Yeah, because it's always worked out so well for you. You never randomly quit one day.
Don't say that too loud. Somebody might be listening.
No.
Because they'll find out that I'm planning on quitting.
Quitting what?
Working.
Everything.
I'm retired.
That's just code for unemployed.
I think that's code for I'm lazy.
Okay, that too.
No, I'm not.
Okay, we got to keep going with this.
Yeah.
If their CEO was standing right here, I'd say, you're insane. You're losing goodwill. Okay, there's no reason to do this because all they have to do, Neil, is say, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa. Their store's big enough to have those banners all over the place. You telling me it's not big enough? You can have it all. Christians aren't going to be mad if you say Happy Hanukkah or Happy Kwanzaa, as long as you acknowledge what it's all about, the federal holiday of Christmas. If you don't, then Christians start to say, you don't like us. You're anti-Christian. You have an anti-Christian bias.
So you don't buy the take that they're trying to be inclusive or the companies that have that position on.
This is insulting to Christian America. It's insulting. This is driven by secular progressives.
So Jews and Muslims who say it's insulting to keep the Christmas, what do you say?
Well, I say that Muslims are less than 1% of the population and Jews are less than 3% of the population.
So
they're entitled to their opinion. They're entitled to their opinion. And they're entitled not to shop in places that say Merry Christmas, just as I'm entitled not to shop in places that don't. That's what I say. Yeah. But the bottom line on this is this. Secular progressives, which are driving this movement, okay, don't want Christmas. They don't want it as a federal holiday. They don't want any message of spirituality or Judeo-Christian tradition because that stands in the way of gay marriage, legalized drugs, euthanasia, all of the greatest hits on the secular progressive play card. If they can succeed in getting religion out of the public arena... George Soros, he's the money man behind it. It's a philosophy. Go on the websites and look at it. It's there. It's a secular
and the companies that succumb to this are just...
They're afraid. They've been intimidated. But I say, fight back.
Enough.
Oh my gosh, this is infuriating, Kristen.
Okay.
I think Bill O'Reilly just needs to...
We'll skip this next point.
I think Bill O'Reilly just needs to get some Christmas cheer and freebase that. Did you ever see that episode of a TV Funhouse? With the Anna Pals?
Oh, yeah.
And
I think I did.
What's his name? The dude? Like, he's got all this Christmas cheer, and they, like, knock him out and then draw all the Christmas cheer out of his spine. And they cook it down and freebase it.
And then they go go around New York City, like, all whacked out.
Yeah, all whacked out on Christmas cheer, like, shouting Christmas carols at people. And they're like,
bunch of puppets.
Yeah, a bunch of puppets.
All right. Okay, that was the war. It was segments from MediaMatters.org on the war on Christmas. I just love to.
Well, I think we should just get rid of Christmas altogether, not because of the religious, the association with Judeo-Christian ethic. I think that we should just totally do away with it because everybody gets a little down around Christmas. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, well, can we start with Valentine's Day first, then?
Since
that really has no significance?
That's a card holiday. Are you declaring war on the card companies?
When I worked for the card companies, I declared war on the card companies.
I know.
I was in charge of a card section.
I remember that.
I know. Well, I'm telling the CD this.
That was a grisly time.
Parts of it were okay. And
you would come home with cuts and bruises everywhere. I'd be like, Christian, what happened?
And I was talking to the Hallmark reps, and they were like, would you like any cards for Sweetheart's Day? I was like, is that just another holiday wish you guys made up? It's like, well, yes. Like, then no. Like, how many of those do you make up? They were like, Sweetheart Day card.
No, it's like the first of the month. When you read the Bozeman Chronicle, they would have a listing of all of the, you know, holidays for the entire month.
Yeah.
All of the, you can register to have a holiday, and you know the government for some reason says sure, yeah.
And it takes up House and Senate business because it has to be a proclamation. Okay, I would like to know, and I have my own opinions on this, but what What do you, Zach, think about politics? You're 26. You have a college degree. We too can burn for fuel and warmth when you live in your cardboard box house.
I'm going to soak that cardboard box in wax weatherproof it.
So what do you think about all this? Like
the politics?
Well, like when I first called you about coming down here and talking, you were like, oh, should I read some new stuff? No.
News is boring. It's like regular yawn fest.
Okay, but seriously, like what's your opinion and like your interaction level or your opinion of the interaction level?
Well, I at my one job of the jobs that I have, I listen to the radio and I listen to the community radio in Madison, and there's always a political show, like there's always a talk show of some sort on at noon. And it's like the locals bringing in guests and they're talking about something or other. And generally it has a political swing to it. And then there's also Democracy Now! Comes on afterwards. So that's kind of an interesting sort of tidbit. So that's kept my awareness of what's going on in the political arena as of late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in up and aware. I'm repeating words. That's cool and I'm intelligent. No, but the whole take on it, though, is just kind of like, I'm very frustrated.
Why?
Because I don't know what to do.
With the information which you have?
Yeah, but also it's like, you know, what's the point of even participating if all it really comes down to is money? If you have a bunch of professional lobbyists who have all kinds of money to throw around, and you have all these political people doing their political thing, and it seems to be more about working with businesses and less about the individual. And I'm all about the individual, which is myself. You know, it's like for me, the politics of my life is, how do I not live at my parents' house in their basement and get a hold of a refrigerator box? And where am I going to get enough wax to weatherproof it? You know, that's the politics of my life.
Because we're practical.
I've got to go to Walmart and see if they have enough wax for me.
Which can be difficult.
But it's wax made from China. It's made in China.
Made from China?
It's made from China.
China, put together, melt, wax. Do you think that facts exist when it comes to like current events and politics? That like you would be able to go someplace and find the facts about what actually happened?
Okay, to answer your first question, yes. To answer your second question, I don't think so.
I don't keep track of which questions I asked.
The first question was, do you think that facts exist? And I said yes. And then, or is there a place where you can go and find that information? And I said no. It's out there in the ether.
So.
But the ether was proven to not exist.
And the Pope just said that limbo doesn't exist.
Well, he's never been to Jamaica then. There'll be a lot less people Jamaican love.
Well, see, I've had this feeling, and you were around me when like I was reading all like the kind of left wing
when you were psycho reading material. Politico?
No, that's now.
Oh, this is yo.
That's yeah, when I was in Montana and like couldn't do anything, so I just read books instead. Mm-hmm. Like that's something bad. But no, like
reading is bad.
Yeah, it's unhealthy. The more you know, the more harm can come to you.
Right. That's why I grabbed People magazine over Newsweek.
That's
more
true.
Pictures.
But I read Bushwhacked by Molly Ivins.
Bushwhacked.
Extreme.
I don't know why, but every time you say that, I just get this somebody shouting Bushwhacked, very professional wrestler style.
That's what I got for the extreme. And then I read Al Franken and Michael Moore, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the only thing that I came out from reading those with was there's no such thing as truth.
Fascinating.
It wasn't like, oh, this person's right and that person's wrong. It was just, I will never know actually what is happening. There's no way. There are no facts.
It's kind of like...
Because like everyone spins it.
It's kind of like when I flush
the toilet.
It's all
framed.
Is it really going to the sewer, or is it just going to Denny's?
Good point.
Or Taco Bell. It's just like you flush the toilet and it goes to Taco Bell and ends up in a little warming pan that they use as beans.
Veritable.
It is a veritable Taco Bell incident.
Veritable.
There you go. Love Merriam-Webster. Okay, this has been In the Loop. We're going to call it quits. This has been Kristen Barrick. Again, we have a blog and a podcast that goes along with this. The blog is at MT, the letter N, the letter T, outburst.blogspot.com. The podcast is at kbarrick, K-B-A-R-R-I-C-K dot podomatic.com. I've had Zach.
Yay.
Here, sitting in the warm studio.
When do I get my money for my gas? Coming down.
It's, let me see.
Do I have to talk to your producer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you really should. Okay. We're going to, as we're crossing over with the next show, she should stick around for, the two users. Two of them are me. I'm going to play The Clash. Should I stay or should I go? We'll see you next week, and go on the web and look us up.
Or other stuff.
This has been In the Loop. And look up porn.